Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show with Donnie C., Dick, Scott, and Jeff. They talk about union workers' opinions, concerns, and questions. Call in and join the conversation at 347-324-3752.
All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
Well, welcome to another Sunday. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, not too bad. How about yourself?
Wake up. I'm doing very good, thank you.
That's good. That is good.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I might as well with this what I got to tell you about. I was given this sent to me, by the way. It says to Flint Assembly temporary employees. It's hard to read because it's kind of light with the ink. After Christmas holidays, the plant will need 38 fewer temps as we move forward into 2015. Under the current operating conditions, we will have an ongoing need for 102 regular temps. Additionally, we will convert 45 of our current temps to a flex temp position to cover Mondays and Friday absenteeism. There are both advantages and disadvantages to converting from regular temp to flex temp status. So it is 10 of the local leadership to populate the flex positions on a voluntary basis from among the existing temps, regular temps. And the order of entry into their current resign. What the hell is that? Order of entry into their current assignment, I guess, cut off. Okay. Now, the advantages, this is the advantages, they say. After 90 days, eligible for health care. Current national agreement, come before regular temps for permanent job offers, should opportunities arise. Maintain same pay progression. Do not have to start over at the bottom rate. Not displaced by laid off seniority employees in the area hired. Those who remain on a regular temp assignments run the risk of being displaced. And the disadvantages are new status date or date of entry is established. Ineligible for holiday pay for 90 days from the new date of entry, will not qualify for Martin Luther King holiday and or Good Friday. Do not work 40 hours per week, typically 16 hours. There may be occasions when that is up to 32 hours to be worked. Please indicate, and it's got this, please indicate below whether your preference to convert to flex or to remain a regular temp as of January 12, 2015, and return this to labor relations no later than December 16, 2014. Thank you. And they want your name, GMIN number, and at the bottom it's got preferred conversion to flex or prefer to maintain regular temp status. And what do you think about that, Scott?
Really? Just before Christmas time, when General Motors always lays out their bad news, it's always before the holidays. That's by design. We've heard Mr. Dangin talk about that. It's not nice. I've heard about some of this on the floor Friday and Saturday. But you said there was advantages and disadvantages.
Yes.
There was. You said something about after 90 days, they're eligible for health care.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if that's, okay. if that's
at the,
well,
yeah,
90
at
days.
The event. Yeah, 90 days.
I don't know
what date that. I don't understand that at all. I guess it's advantages to flex worker. Hell, I don't know. It doesn't
say. As you read it, that's what I glean from this as you're reading it. That the advantage of being a flex worker, and then the disadvantages. Of not being a flex worker, in other words, being a full time temporary. I think it doesn't go by 90 days. I think your health care is run on hours, I believe. I thought it was on accumulated hours, not on days. I could be mistaken.
It used to be 90 days when I hired in. That's when you got your
But you weren't a flex employee.
No. I have no idea
you
about
40
flex.
Hours
of temp.
Right.
No, I don't know what they're eligible
right.
for.
And after 90 days, if you're a flex and you're only working, you said that was to cover Monday and Friday absenteeism, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then they're talking about health care. Well, what health care do you qualify for? Because right now at 16 hours a week, you would automatically qualify for the Affordable Care Act. Okay. So are they going to give you the same health care as the seniority workers?
Good question. I don't
know.
That's
a good question. Yeah. You said under the national agreement that the flex workers get offered a job before the regular temps. Was that my read right?
And I'm going back. Okay, there's both advantages. Okay, local leadership, populate flex positions. Where did I see that at?
I was trying to write this stuff down as he's reading them off. I think it's under advantages.
Oh, yeah. Under current national agreement, come before regular temps. Or a permanent job offer should opportunity arise. Now, I don't.
So how does then, I would ask, how would a flex worker who's only working 16 hours a week get a permanent job offer before somebody who's working 40 hours a week? Good question.
I don't know.
And you said something, I wrote down something about pay. I wrote down maintain pay. I lost my choo-choo. Maintain pay. Was that,
you,
does that mean the advantage of being a flex worker? I put down maintain pay.
Yeah, maintain same pay. Do not have to start over at the bottom. And the other one is not displaced but laid off seniority employees and area hire. Those who remain on a regular temp assignments run the risk of being displaced.
Okay.
So,
if
you go to flex and you only work 16, then you can work up to 32 hours a week. But you give up your 40-plus-hour-a-week job, for this? I don't. Who?
Who? Well, I would think. Okay, so we're talking about who's not laid off or who's displaced by laid off seniority employees in the area hire. Lansing just lost a whole shift. If that person has seniority and they are a GM employee, they'd have that right to come to our plant on a temporary basis to work to maintain a 40-hour paycheck. So you're going to tell me you're going to give the flex employees a super seniority, so to say, to stay over on top of the seniority employees? I mean, what if somebody's got a house and they're married and they have a child and a car payment, and you're going to tell me that somebody that has no corporate seniority is going to get to do a job instead of myself? Really? I think
I know it.
I think the. Thanks, John. I think the. Go ahead.
No, I think they need ongoing need for 102 regular temps, and that will pick five. They're going to pick 45, I guess, out of this 102. No, not right either. Well, how are they going to get the temps? They have an ongoing need for 102 regular temps. Additionally, we will convert 45 of our current. Oh, I got it. Okay. So you
there
take
must be currently 140 temps right now. You're going to lay 38 of them off, and out of the 102, you're going to turn 45 of them into a flex temporary. That's how I'm understanding what you're saying.
With really more power than a regular temp.
Now, you said there were some disadvantages.
Yes. Now, I'll read those again. Get a new status. The date of entry is established. Ineligible for holiday pay for 90 days, but the new date of entry will not qualify for Martin Luther King and Good Friday. Do not work 40 hours per week, typically 16 hours per week. There may be occasions when up to 32 hours can be worked or may be worked. Now, 30, you know you're going to be in a plant more than 2 days, especially at the beginning of the year when everybody's got their vacation and their BR days. I know people that were out of BR days by the end of January. So.
Right. The new status date or date of entry. Addition is a disadvantage. So if you're not a flex and you become a, if I'm reading this right and I understand this, my notes that I wrote down here, wouldn't that be then, if you don't become a flex, the other temporaries are going to have their date of entry adjusted?
I don't know, Scott. I don't know. I imagine if you sign up to be a flex, I would assume you're getting a new seniority date. I don't know that. I'm just guessing.
Well, you said under the advantages.
That's the disadvantage. You lose your seniority date.
Right. Oh, that would be the disadvantage. You are going to get a new seniority date then.
Right.
And, of course, then you wouldn't qualify for holiday pay for the two holidays that you talked about.
Right.
Wow.
That's correct.
Now, we don't have enough full-time employees right now to run. You know that, right?
Right.
And so they're going to cut back on some of the temporaries and just use and convert some of the 102 that are left out of 140, they're going to convert 45 out of the 102 to a flex. So what happens if they don't get enough people to volunteer? Are they going to force them?
yeah, I would assume they would make that decision, yeah. Well, because temporary people really don't have rights like if they were hired. So they can put them where they, I guess, where they want them.
Interesting.
You're supposed to have Christmas off and enjoy your family and not worry about anything, but God, this is going to screw up a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure there's people who will probably quit over this whole thing, too, which is a shame. So, if we wouldn't, I guess the point I'm going to drive home here is if we didn't do this with all the temporary workers, if after 100 days we hired them like we're supposed to, we wouldn't have this problem instead of having these, if the UAW and Solidarity House is listening, if we didn't have all this language about temporaries, long-term temporaries, permanent temporaries, and flex workers, this wouldn't be an issue at all. Just say a little loud and clear so they can understand that. If we didn't have that language to begin with, we wouldn't have the problem. So,
right.
Clarify your language as far as how long they work and then you hire them, period. Just period, hire them. You and I both know people who've been in our plant for up to 12 years. One individual, yep. I think we can both think of. Really? 12 years? So, I had asked somebody about this. I found an elected official. That individual informed me that the union was upset.
Well, isn't that nice? They're upset.
Well, why didn't we get a letter from our shop? Why didn't we get the letter from the shop chairman on the floor seeing how upset he is about this and what he's going to do to combat this or how he's going to address it?
You mean, hold on, the people in the plan haven't heard anything about this from Barry or anybody?
As far as I'm aware of, no. I'm not saying that's the case, but as far as I'm aware of, no. What I did hear what they were doing was they were calling the people off the line and taking them up to labor relations for each shift.
Oh, I see.
And then they were given, evidently, what you read, how they had to deal with it. And, right. Yeah. Something I wrote down that you, when you was reading, caught my ear. Local leadership, would that be the combination of both management and union, or is that just them exercising paragraph 8?
I don't know. It says local leadership. To me, that's local, not 5G8, but I don't know if that's what they're meaning in this.
And you said, and I wrote down the date, you said that January 12th of 2015 is when all this will play out. And then you said December 16th is when they have to know by. Well, that's next Wednesday.
Tuesday?
Tuesday? Wednesday? I don't know. One of those 2 days.
Today's
so you're giving this on... Okay. So you're giving this what on... Yeah, today's the 13th. Maybe
no, today's
I don't know.
13th. You're screwed up.
The 13th. I am screwed up. I'm sorry. Ugh.
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, Mike.
There's Tuesday. So you've basically been given...
13th.
Basically been given, what, 2 days?
Well, 3.
2 days
they
to think about this?
They got this Friday, according to it was sent to me. They got it Friday,
okay. And
Saturday and Sunday, they'll have Monday. They have to decide by Tuesday what they want to do.
Boy, that really puts a pickle on some of these individuals.
Should have opened the union hall and had temps come into the union hall, and the 598 officials should explain exactly what's going on, on their end and what may be their best route to keep working.
Right.
And
right.
Apparently, she didn't hear about it. They didn't do that.
No.
No.
I would like to think that somebody from our local is going to start to address this. I like I said, I haven't heard anything. I'm hoping maybe I'll get some more information tonight, but
Scott, didn't you have a union meeting last Sunday?
Yeah, didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, don't tell me Barry didn't know this was coming Sunday. I can't believe that. They didn't put this together on Monday and implement it and give it out on Friday. So he knew what was going on. I have to believe that. Well, I could be wrong. But I don't think
so. Well, I guess that's coupled with what I'm going to say next then. Also on January 12th, when we come back, because for those who aren't aware, those of us at Flint Assembly are being laid off for a week due to construction. So a lot of us will have one extra week on our 10 days off. on the 12th, we'll come back and we will be minus 45 employees. And let me clarify that. 15 absentee replacements, or ARs, a shift, will no longer be ARs. And from my understanding is, instead of being an AR, you'll now be called a floater. And by that, I guess they're hoping that then they can say, we don't have ARs, and we're not paying out AR pay. Well, folks, if you're one of those floaters, just make sure you ask for your day rate. Every time you go to a different job or whatever, you remind your foreman that you get a day rate. And that'll come the closest to keeping your AR pay as you've got right now. I don't know how that's going to work out. It's going to evidently go by seniority and then by which areas they're going to go. I know personally they're talking about taking one AR out of sequence and two out of material per shift. So there's nine of the 45 right there. So I don't know if the other ones are coming out of, you know, trim upstairs or the file line, or if they're coming out of body shop or paint or, you know what I mean? I don't know where all they're going to get the rest of the ARs and
right.
How that's going to work. And that's going to, it seems like that would really open up a can of worms as far as seniority would go.
Yeah.
Because what if somebody gets cut out of this area and this guy had more time and wanted that job, and you see what I'm saying? I don't know how that would play out either, because it's going to be real interesting.
Well, the folks we know in time, and they should be hired. They shouldn't have to go through this crap every year.
No.
They should be hired.
No.
They've been working in that plant well, and keep their seniority date. They hired in.
Right.
And that's, it's wrong to take that. You know, once they hire them, they have to start all over again, 90 days.
And a new pay rate.
Yeah, new pay rate.
You know, and evidently, we don't know how to run the business. That's evident with 79 recalls. I just saw an advertisement today for $9,500 back on selected trucks. I saw a flyer this last week with a $54,000 Cadillac that you could purchase for the price of $29,000 on this one select model Cadillac. We've got issues with temporaries right now that are working in our plant. And, again, I have to keep thinking about the folks at Lansing that are getting laid off. Now, I don't believe Lake Orion gets any rights to come to any other plant because they have a standalone agreement. You know what I mean? You can't say, oh, you get to fall under the blanket of the national when your local agreement is unlike anything else or in the whole circuit. I believe they have a standalone contract, which would allow them the opportunity to come to our plant. Because I hear they're losing a shift also. They make what the Sonic, and what's the other one? It's like the Sonic. The two smaller vehicles.
I don't recall.
It just slips my mind. There's two of them. One is smaller than the other. I think it's the Sonic is the small one, and then there's another one. There's two small vehicles that they make at Lake Orion. Oh, and they make the Buick. The little, what was it, the Verano? I believe they make that I think they make that over there too. I give them three small vehicles that they make over there. So, but I just, my mind keeps going back over to the Lansing people. Who are going to be getting laid off. I didn't know that anybody temporarily working would be able to,
Well, I didn't. I thought being a seniority worker, not temp, you could move to our plant if there was a layoff. And apparently they're going to save 45 jobs for the flex people. And they have more rights than
seniority worker.
Yeah.
Or the regular temp. Right.
You know, when we stuck people on jobs that were open and they kept doing that job, we couldn't even put in for that job. They left it, they said that's a temp job. I don't know what the hell that meant. That was what I was told. It's a temp job. You can't have it. Nobody can
right.
have it. Now, I thought the union would come out and say something about this.
Well,
big surprise on Friday.
I'm totally flabbergasted by this, and I'm appalled being allowed to happen. And if we're such a strong local, and we're such a great manufacturer of these vehicles which have a high return on the vehicles that we make, why we're enforcing this, which brings us right back to the point that we don't know how to run the business, and all we know how to do is to show a profit is to cut the workforce by even more. And
right.
You're going to do that. You're going to really... you might save some money by having some flex workers, but the problem with it is when you place those flex workers, where are you going to put them? And what if you put one of those flex workers in the material department? What's the safety on that? I mean, as you know as well as I do, you can't just jump on a fork truck in a new area and go get them, you know?
Right. Yeah,
I mean, what would you think about that?
You're right. The 45 holders, they were going to do that before with ARs. A few years ago, I heard about it. And everybody, it was an AR, was going to be a floater. You know, but they got that now. They really have that now because if you're free in one area, they can take you and put you in other areas. They always have. So I don't know what the... They must have been told they got too many ARs.
Right. This whole thing is just... like I said, well, I'll put my ears out and see what I can come up with. And the ARs, the temporaries, I would think, I'll ask your opinion, it appears as though there's a pattern that something's is coming down the pipes, maybe. What do you think?
Every time they do this, it seems like there's something going on. That's true. And what it is, I don't know. And it seems like, and it's not every Christmas, but it seems like a lot of Christmases come by, and all of a sudden you get slugged in the nose. Somebody does.
Yep.
And maybe it's got something to do with the contracts. I don't know. Contract talk coming up. I have no idea.
It's part of the psychology of what they do. I'm sure Danjan would be able to explain that psychology, why they do that. But as long as you and I have been around, it's always been the bad news drops around the holiday. Always.
Yep, you're right.
You know, I know when they announced the plant closing at Kalamazoo, that was December 3rd. And,
third.
You know, that really, you know, you got to go the next 20 days or so, and that's what's on your mind. They're closing my plant. You know, and then everybody scuttles down to labor relations, and everybody starts looking for where they can transfer to, who's taking people, and, of course, the higher seniority people take the places that are closest to home. Nobody wants
right.
to drive forever. You know, and then some people have to move out of state. And we don't even do things like that anymore because they've changed the language on paragraph K by so much. They've tweaked it. They've cut pages out of paragraph K. We used to have paragraph 28 move where you get paid. You know, if you had to move you and your wife and had to go to another state or something, you know, they'd pay. You know, you'd have to stay there for 18 months. And they had a super enhanced package, which was like $60,000.
Right.
You just stay there for 3 years. And, people don't realize it does help, but it's not what it sounds like. Because if you're still paying your house payment from where you're at because your house hasn't sold yet and you're paying for a place to live in the new place, you've got bills in both places now. You know, you might have a family back in the old place, and you got to still pay the food and the bills there, and you know, and the house payment, and the car payment, and your taxes, and all that fun stuff, and your utilities. You know, wherever you go, you don't just live somewhere for free either. But them days are gone. But I'm just wondering what we're going to do with this. I mean, like I said, they're upset, they say, and we'll see. And I'll try to get my ears out there and try to run into somebody and ask them what we're planning on doing with this. But it's been my thought all along that we should have hired the temporaries a long time ago. And we wouldn't have had this problem.
That's right. That is
and
absolutely
like I said, they're harvesting the workforce again. And they're doing it on the people who aren't even seniority employees. Picking on the little weak kid.
Right.
You know, it's not like the fifth grader picking on the kindergartner. It's more like the high schooler picking on the kindergartner now. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
And I'm waiting for somebody else from the high school to step up and say, hey, stop doing that. You know, like I said, you go back to the Constitution of the UAW, what does it say? The shorter working hours, you know, the better pay and, you know, under
yeah.
the articles.
Yeah.
What is it? Article 2. Yeah, Article 2, Section 3. To improve, Article 2, Section 1. Article 2, Section 1 of the UAW Constitution says, to improve working conditions, create a uniform system of shorter hours, higher wages, health care, and pensions to maintain and protect the interests of workers under the jurisdiction of this international union. Improve working conditions, create a uniform system of shorter hours, higher wages, health care, and pensions, and to maintain and protect the interests of workers under the jurisdiction of the international union. It doesn't say to protect the interests of the union. It doesn't say protect the interests of the company. It says protect the interests of the workers. Well, I guess if I look through those glasses, somebody's got something wrong really bad.
Yeah. They got together, had a couple of drinks, and decided, hell with the temps. We're going to screw them over. Hey,
let's
let me ask you something. If you don't mind, I'd like to put this on workers, workplaces, and unions. You think that would be fine in doing that, or what?
I don't know why it wouldn't be. I mean, you're a member. I mean, go right ahead.
I'll put it on. Yeah, okay.
Sure.
We'll do it.
Everybody
can yeah, but it don't, right now, as far as I know, only the Flint Assembly people got this.
Right. So I guess that would be a good time to say if there's somebody out at Arlington or Fort Wayne who is listening to the show, hey, let us know if this is happening at your facility or anybody else for that matter, if this is happening at your facilities or if at Ford or Chrysler they're doing something similar to this. What you
right. Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to know. See if it. I don't know.
Well, you have.
It might be going in every plant, and we don't know it. It could be all tied in with the contract talks. I don't know that either. Because I hope UAW put pressure on these people to hire the temps that they have. It's been there a long time.
Right.
Maybe if they down on the temps, call them flex employees, well, they wouldn't be hired. I don't know how to. I'm not in negotiations for nothing. I'm just taking a guess.
Right. But I would say with the information we've got so far, I guess it's safe to assume that they have at least 102 openings or a need of 102 people.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would think. Then Lansing people would have a shot to come over to our plant.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And like you said, it's going into contract time. Is this the first move? Is this the poke in our eye, so to say? And if it is, what is the UAW going to do with it? They're going to just sit there and rub their eyeball and get a pouty lip and look at them and say, it wasn't nice. Or are they going to poke them back? Well, I know I'd poke them back. I don't know about you, but I'd poke back.
Oh, yeah.
But, so I guess with that being said and this happening here, every local is just as important as the next. It's from what our Solidarity House would tell us. So Here's a test from our new President Williams and his Vice President, Cindy Estrada. What are you going to do with this? I'm asking the question as a member of the UAW and of the local that it's happening to. What are you going to do about this?
That's right. Right.
We'll see.
I don't know. I seen it somewhere today, and it might have been on workers, workplaces, and unions that our president's going to be online to take questions on the 15th. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I posted that earlier.
Okay. It was on this one. Okay. Now, there's a good
Twitter.
Thing.
Twitter.
Oh, is it Twitter? Okay.
Twitter.
Well, where do you go? I'm looking.
10 a.m. on Monday, December 15th. You can join the roundtable discussion on Twitter, tweeting, follow at UAW, and you'll be tweeting with UAW President Dennis Williams. I see they made a comment a while ago about that. They said, I bet this only happens once. Get the dissenters on there, and he won't do it again. Imagine that.
Yeah.
What do you think? I don't know about you. I don't have a Twitter account. Do you?
I did for the show. I did for the show, but I don't know how to. I just gave up on it because I never really used it. But I think the show was or is on Twitter to remind people or whatever that we're on. It's supposed to be anyway. So, to answer your question, I probably would have to get a new account. But I'd like to be there to read or be on a computer and read what people ask this guy. And if you put it down, you type it all out, does it have to be checked before he gets it? By that, I mean, you can't have somebody that's totally against the UAW, trashing the union. So I don't know if you asked a pertinent question that he didn't want to answer, would he just skip over you or delete it, or somebody delete it for him, rather?
Right. I know that I'd made a very real comment about a real situation one time, and it was removed because evidently the administrators thought that it was negative.
It was negative.
That's reality. That's what happens in life.
Hurt anybody's feelings. That's negative. We can't answer.
Well, no,
that.
It's not anybody's feelings. It's their feelings.
No,
they don't want their feelings hurt. I'm going through. Well, if you're worried about your feelings being hurt, then you guys are all in the wrong job up down there at Solidarity House.
Right.
So, I noticed that here just lately. I mean, just recently, just looking through, and I see that. Excuse me, Scott Holderson posted a good story from Auto News talking about stagnant wages are a drag on new car sales. And who was I talking to last night? Speaking of stagnant wages, I was talking to one of our coworkers that we both knew. And they told me that they heard that they were going to go after Tier 2. And I says, please don't let them do what they did at Lear. They were going to go after wages because we haven't had a raise in 13 years. Okay, if that's the case, then what does that cost us? What does that cost us, and I mean us, I'm talking about the active hourly worker and the retiree.
Right. It costs something.
And they've been chomping at the bits for years. And, the things that are happening right now that aren't being addressed in an expeditious manner would concern me that, what's going to happen when we get to the bargaining table. People would like to get the cost of living back and have a raise, do away with the two-tier and bring them up, not bring us down, and they have to tie us to that. There's some. I would like to see all of you retirees get your Christmas bonus back. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think you guys all deserve it.
I would take it.
Well, you guys have fought a lot of contracts, you know, and then to take that money out away from you like that, that's just wrong. So,
well, I haven't been retired long enough to be in that battle, but there's a lot of people I know that depend on that, that did depend
right.
on that. You know, they don't, there's a lot of people not making what I make, retired. And they're hurting. They should,
right.
I wish they would cost a living back in their Christmas bonus, but, you know, that's not going to happen. And I'm afraid of this paint shop, but it just reminds me of what they did in Indiana. In their contract talks, they moved two tier down the road, called it something
yeah.
else, you know. And it just,
yeah.
And, you know, that just scared the hell out of me.
At a lower wage than what they were making as tier two.
Right. Yep.
And the top pay came down. They give their cost of living up, and they capped off their pension.
That's what they did, too. And they thought they won this battle. But, well, we don't have two-tier. Yeah, you do. We've got three-tier now. Actually,
yeah.
Think about it. Three-tier.
Yeah.
You gave up your COLA for getting screwed. You know, you probably didn't. Well, the employees might not even known about what they were going to do. I wouldn't
right.
doubt that a bit. UAW kept that a secret. And they're thinking, when they're interviewing people, oh, yeah, we got rid of tier two, and they're all happy. I bet they're not happy right now. Because they got hosed. They gave a hell of a lot of money to get screwed again. They went down in their
yeah.
normal wage and gave up COLA. And I'll tell you what, you give up COLA, you made a hell of a bad mistake.
You know, and with that being said, listening to what we've been talking about for the last half hour or so, you wonder why it's hard when you go down south to organize transplants. Really?
You know what I'm going to say.
Boy. Go right ahead. It baffles me.
You've got to have a product to sell. And the UAW right now does not have a product. And yet they're not, those people down there see that. They're not stupid. They get online and look at the crap that's going on. So until the UAW comes up and start taking care of the workers like they should, leave politics alone like they should, get back to the business of being the UAW, they don't have anything to sell. They don't have a product. All we do is give them money every month, and they give to campaigns all over the country. And they're lost their ass every time. Not every time, but. So, even unions are raising hell now with what's going on. They found out
right.
they got little votes. And it's not worth this handing, you know, you're trying to sell properties at one time. It's not worth it to get these people in office. It's bullshit. And people
right.
see that down. And they don't want to belong to a union that doesn't, that gives money to all just Democrats. Generally, a lot of these people down there are Republicans / Democrats. It depends on the person. And that's what the UAW do. If you're going to keep doing this VCAP crap, is look at the person and what they stand for. What they're saying, instead of automatically being a Democrat.
Oh, I'm glad you said VCAP. That reminds me. We had some people in the plant. I'm going to share this with you. We had some people in the plant that when they had the VCAP drive, certain individuals changed their amount that they were donating to the VCAP to zero. And I asked why, and I got to hear one person explain why. His explanation
really?
Was this. Yeah, his explanation was this. He used to give a set amount every month to the VCAP. What happened was, he said this last year at the Constitutional Convention, that when they agreed to raise the dues every month, that as soon as they got that vote cleared on the floor, that they voted to allow them to take $15 million out of the new strike fund. That's what all this, the dues increase was supposed to go solely into a strike fund, not the strike / defense fund. But that part was supposed to go just strictly to the strike fund. They voted to withdraw $15 million a year out of the new strike fund to go to political endeavors, I guess we could say. So that's $60 million over the next 4 years. So this individual said that I'm taking back all my money because you just took money away from me and never asked me for it, so now you're not going to get anything other than what you've taken away from me already. And I like this statement. It made sense. That's my opinion. And that's my right to have that opinion. And that's his right to do what he did. I agree with his sentiment. You know, you took money away from me for one thing, and then you go back in there and say you're going to use it for something else. You lied, and then you turn around and you stole out of my strike fund. Well, you didn't steal because they voted on it, so you didn't steal, but the might have been a little misleading, and the Constitutional Convention delegates voted on that to allow that to happen. So if anybody's got questions about that, I'm sure Vice President Ryan Buchalski would love to take that question from you over at Local 598.
Yeah.
He's one of your Constitutional Convention delegates, so I'm sure if you got a question for him about that, he'd probably answer that for you and explain to you why they did that.
Oh, yeah.
or you can call Local 598 President Ray Gorney and ask him, and maybe he can point you in the right direction now to get a hold of your Constitutional delegates.
Yeah.
So,
you know, they told the people one thing and they're doing another. That's a simple fact.
Yep.
And we figured
yep.
it out before. We figured all this out. You're right.
Before we get too far in,
yes.
Probably gonna take about a 2 week hiatus, I imagine.
Okay.
Well, I'm just thinking that would put us back on, what, the 4th of January?
4th of January. Right.
Okay, I'm not looking at a calendar, so I'm just trying to guess.
It's the 4th.
Yeah. Is it the 4th? I'm thinking
yes.
The 2nd was like a Friday or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, Friday, January 2nd. Third is Saturday, and it would be January 4th we would be coming back. Yeah. We went back.
I think so. We would have went back the 2nd, wasn't it? No, we get the day after off, right? No. Anyway. And we get the week of the 5th through the 9th off. It would be January 4th. We'd be looking at doing the next show.
Right.
I'm going to be on a kind of a vacation, kind of, so to say.
Right.
And looking forward to that.
a lot of people will be heading out.
Oh, yeah, especially with that extra week off. Oh,
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people going places. Florida's going to be real busy, I'm sure.
What's going on with, watch me, yeah. What's going on with Volkswagen? I've read that you were, thanks to Teresa, I read that they will open access, but there's another union involved too, right?
Yeah, I've been trying to flip through that. Teresa posted some really useful, really good information this last week on workers, workplaces, and unions on Facebook.
Yeah.
And there's a place called ACE. They said that they could represent the 15 to 30% of the Chattanooga plant, and she did a great article from the Free Press and how the UAW says they have 45% of support again already.
Well, I thought they had 50.
How much support do you need before you can call for a vote?
I don't know. Man, they keep in the rules of the labor board. On the labor board, I don't know what the rules are anymore.
Well, evidently you have another union in there. It's ACE, 40? I believe.
Yeah, ACE. Yeah. I don't know what that stands for.
So if that union is in there, okay, then under the law, wouldn't that allow the UAW a chance to come back in? Because they wouldn't have to wait that year.
Yeah, that's what Dick said to us, that if another union came in, the UAW wouldn't be held to a year. They could go back in and start trying to get people. But
I think he said anybody that tried to organize, right, inside what? Volkswagen, if anybody else tried to, and basically they have what? I read the article lightly. They said they have at least 15% and perhaps as much as 30.
Right. That's what they say. ACE says you VW unfairly enacting Chattanooga labor policy. So now they're complaining because Chattanooga, and I haven't really read this yet, but it's a rival labor group to the United Auto Workers at Volkswagen Chattanooga plant is complaining that the automaker is fairly implementing a new labor policy to favor the UAW.
And at the same time, the NLRB changed some language that would speed up workers' decisions on unions.
Right.
And thank you, Teresa, again for posting an article yesterday from the Detroit News. It says that the UAW workers want two tiers gone and seek raises. So somebody's got a full plate they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I seen that. Wasn't that at Ford?
I don't know.
No. Never
if
mind.
I remember right, Ford didn't give up their cost of living.
No.
Ford still makes more money than we do.
I was thinking Holison put something up. I'm just thinking out loud. It's UAW Ford National Contract Resolution passed by Local 551 at the Chicago Assembly Plant. Eliminate two-tier was number one. Restore COLA as it was in the 2003 agreement. Wage increases of 20% in the first year, 10 second year, 5 in the third and fourth year. Increase life income, retirement benefits to where they would be if the usual increases, and continue reading. Anyway, you can go to the Facebook site and check that out. It's got 38 resolutions. And way down in number 27, reinstate Christmas bonus at $1,000 per year to be paid the week before Thanksgiving. And don't forget, this is for active workers. I don't see. There's a whole bunch of resolutions. A whole bunch. And the first one is get rid of, eliminate Tier 2. So, you know, the people with seniority that aren't temps, they're standing up for the two-tier wage people. And this time, I understand, I read in another part of one other site that they're being offered $10,000 according to whoever. And I don't know if it's a GM plant or a Ford plant. But be careful if they offer you money to get a yes vote, because I guarantee you, you're going to be losing a hell of a lot more than what they're going to give you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But people look at that, get a big check and da-da-da, and you wonder where your benefits went. I don't remember what the bonus was the last time around. It wasn't.
$3,500, I thought, was a signing bonus, wasn't it?
I thought it was $5,000, but I could be wrong.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't remember. It was, it was a nice check, no question. And everybody was telling, talking, I'm not voting for that. I said, I'm not voting for it. I'll tell you why, because I feel, and I didn't know this for sure, but it turned out that way, but I feel that we're going to lose a hell of a lot more money. They don't just give you, if it's a good contract, they don't just give you a bonus to sign the damn thing. If it's a good contract,
no.
Keep your damn money and put it into the contract in some kind of wage or COLA or something.
All right, let's not forget what happened earlier this year at Boeing in Washington.
Yes.
Exactly what you're talking about. They really, really, really got lambasted. Let's say lambasted. Not only did they give up their cost of living, future raises, I mean, they really got hit, but they capped off their pensions, and they got that with a $15,000 per vote.
Right.
They offered the signing bonus, wasn't it? $15,000? And then there was people trying to give the money back.
Yeah. Too late.
It was way
That's
too late.
That's what I asked you for that. If it's a good contract, always remember, they don't have to give you anything to sign yes. If it's a good contract, you'll go ahead and vote for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
But they come out and want you to, hey, we're going to give you a $10,000 signing bonus. Use your brain. They're not giving it to you for nothing. I don't know how many thousands of dollars we lost in the last contract because everybody voted yes just to get that $5,000 bonus or whatever the hell it was.
Yep. Well, some of the things we lost was skilled trades. We when that contract passed, they did away with, was it nine skilled trades people? Contractually, they did with nine skilled trades people, or trades, not trades people, trades. Sorry, trades.
Trade.
And because Chrysler lost 13 out of hand, 13 of their trades gone. They had contractually before, then we're just gone. I'm trying to think, and then the 2007 contract, we lost $15,000 a year in wages going forward. So we've almost lost $90,000 from 2007 to where we're at by the time we get into in September this next year.
Right.
I've been 90,000. So you look at we're 75,000. How's that? $75,000 so far that we lost. And copays increased.
Right.
Costs went up. Yeah. And you know where we're at. It's just these are things that people got to think about and put them all together on the same page or on the same plate and look at what's in front of you and ask questions. Do as much homework as you possibly can to know what's going on so you stay aware of what's going on. And Teresa has been just graciously putting stuff up on workers, workplaces, and unions. And there's other websites and other Facebook sites that people are posting information up. Go read some of that stuff. Go look at that, you know. Figure out what's going on. Like Don says, you know, you got the future staring at you. Don't just take other people's word for it. Go look at it yourself and be aware. Because some of us are soon to be future retirees. So it's not going to just be very personal to you currently as an active workforce, but it's going to be very personal to you as a retiree. So, you know, I mean, I look at it as a privilege to help, like, Don and Dick and some other people that I know that we might know who are retired because of some of the things you guys did for us back in the 70s, you know, and some people back in the 60s even, and some of the trials and tribulations that you guys went through and the strikes that you guys went through to achieve what we had. And what so sadly we've been giving it back every contract. I apologize for that, but we need to take care of the retirees because they're the ones that got us what we have right now to begin with.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna... You're welcome.
We have to not use that word bridge the salaries, you know, from tier one to tier two. We got a bridge. That scares me. I know what bridge means, and it doesn't mean equal. It doesn't. It means taking A down to meet B. That's what it means. When you say I'm bridging something, you're not going to be equal. Or why wouldn't you come out and say that? Why not come out and say, we're going to bring their wages up to meet tier one? Not how this guy never says that. He always uses the word bridge.
Right.
Key word in my book. And so what they did down in Indiana, these people didn't know what the hell they were doing. And they got rid of all that stuff. COLA? Did you get rid of COLA? Uh-uh. No way.
Right. Yep. You know, in this last week, you know, I posted something earlier in the week about the Supreme Court. They ruled against Amazon workers in compensation cases.
Yeah.
So that kind of lets you know where us American workers are going to be kind of held. You know what I mean? So it's We're getting to be the way of the dinosaur. Either we have to step up and be a roaring lion again, or just we're going to have to lay down and go home. I don't know.
But the only thing we make in this country anymore is vehicles. That's about all. Think about it. Everything we buy, TVs. Curtis Mathis, what I think was the last TV manufacturer in this country.
Yep.
Mathis. And then he ended that.
Wasn't that Ohio?
I think it was Ohio.
Yep.
I believe it.
Kentucky was where they used to make the Levi's.
That's right. And I remember down in Alabama, my aunts both used to work at the they just call it a sewing factory is all they called it. I don't even know the name of it. And I can remember them. They were sewing shirts together and all that other stuff. They don't have any of that done. I had an aunt that worked at Sweet Sue Chicken. And we always had this chicken plant in Athens, Alabama. And it's gone. It's just a mess. And with this illegal immigration thing, it's in the bill. It's passed. Well, it hasn't passed the Senate just yet, but it will tomorrow probably. If you're illegal and you hire that illegal, you don't have to worry about the health care and you won't be penalized. So
by $3,000, right? You have to get a write-off of $3,000.
You get to write this. Absolutely. And if I have 55 or 60 employees, don't you think I would love to get rid of 20, 25 of those that I'm paying either a penalty or some health care for?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? If you hire an American worker, you get penalized $2,000, right?
Yeah, basically it's what it is. It's a $2,000 penalty, right? If but if you can get out of that by offering the health care coverage that Obamacare or the ACA stipulates. So, and they say it's not going to hurt American workers. I think it really will hurt the American workers big time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't find a good job out there now. The jobs that we've got are gone by the wayside.
Well, right.
So letting anybody into this country, and he was in Tennessee, and he said, well, it's for 5 million. You people aren't going to be deported, but it's really going to be really 12 million. Won't be deported.
12 million?
That's what he said. He rewrote the damn thing, and you got to read it. Like, it's 5 million heads of the family, head of the family, and they're not counting really their families, their kids. That's the way they're going around it, and that adds up to, well, you said 12 million. In Tennessee, you got a big standing ovation. But these were illegals you were talking to, you know. And they're from all over the world. It's not just Mexico. But they're coming over now, and they're going to stand in line and fill out the paperwork, even if they'll lie and tell them, man, I've been here 10 years or whatever. And they'll be in. And it's going to hurt the Mexican family. And I think everybody should complain about that. I called the White House and the Capitol building, both places, all day, and it was jammed. The phone lines are jammed. And it took 10 minutes, 11 minutes for me to even get through. And another reporter did it, and he said first time was 7 minutes, the last time he tried was 9 minutes. And he said usually they pick up within 3 rings. But they were that busy to do any good. Our Republican leadership in the House sold everybody down the river. With
the rhinos led that charge. And which, once again, to go to show you, it isn't a party line.
No.
These people are doing what they're told to do, what they're paid to do.
That's it. Until we get these people to office, and from Banyard to McCain and all the way around, it's not going to change.
Well, even Harry Reid got something out of the omnibus bill. They all pulled out stuff. And the bankers, the ones that about fold the whole world economy, you're going to end up, instead of controlling them more, you're going to give them more flexibility and give them more of our money? Seriously?
Well, yeah, you're right. If they lose big time in their illegal, to me it's illegal, derivatives plan, if they lose money like the last time, we're on the hook for again. The American public at work will be paying the bankers again. That's why Elizabeth Warren, now I respect what she said about this. I'm not a big fan of Elizabeth Warren, but she's the one that held it up so long in the House because she came out raising hell about it. and Nancy Pelosi was in the negotiations, but she got up and said, I didn't know this was in there. Hold on, you were in the negotiations with this. The leadership of the Democratic Party. She wouldn't have said nothing, but Elizabeth Warren was getting a lot of play and a lot of good publicity, and she got pissed and told them not to vote for it. I follow that real close. It's just the American workers are going to take it in the butt one more time, and the Republicans will pass that TPP in a heartbeat. Guarantee it. That's what they want to. Quiet now.
No, you're right. People need to understand this. See, there are still some good people in other parties. You just have to pay attention to what some people are saying. I love Marcy Kaptur out of, I think it was Ohio. And when this stuff was happening in Wall Street, she wanted to do Iceland? Greenland. This is all the bankers that was corrupt. Iceland. Yeah. They threw all the corrupt bankers in prison. They treated them just like every other criminal we would here.
Every one of them. Every one of them went to prison. And they suffered for just a little while, not even a year. It was like 6 months until they got squared around and kicked ass. They run their country like we should run ours.
Like we used to.
Yeah. You see, Democratic, right? Back in the day, back in the 60s, that was a great party. I don't know when this thing, the ball changed sides. I really don't. When they started being together, and they are. Don't mistake that. Whatever one says, the other one has to get on TV. Now we're getting rid of all of it. Well, they do that for a reason. For a second, they're mad at each other, and they don't go meet for drinks, and they make a deal, and it screws us. And they've been doing this for 2 decades now. Really bad. And they get on TV and lie, and lie some more. And I don't think I'm talking about Democrats. I'm talking about all of them. Every one of them. It should be term limits, period.
How about pay limits? Pay limits.
Trade limits? Is that what you said?
Pay.
Pay limits.
Oh, yeah. You get a pay. They're getting paid better part of $200,000 a year, and as soon as they get 2 years, they get lifetime Social Security, and you don't pay into it. That's wrong too, you know. And you know, this omnibus bill, as it's so being called, there's a big trade-off for traitors that we call our Congress people. I call them traitors, traitors against the Constitution, and traitors against the American people. And what they're doing is, one part I remember stands out is, didn't they allow them to raise the donation to political parties from $32,400 to $324,000?
Yeah.
They allowed them. And that's if you get quite a few people who give you each $300,000 or $325,000 of their money, that adds up pretty doggone quick.
Well, absolutely. It's another than the normal, you know, in the Constitution, they sure didn't mean for you to stay in office for life at all.
No.
But it's a money business, and these people get insider trading tips all the time. That's the only way you can explain how much money they have when they come out of office.
Right.
That, you know, making that kind of money, $200 million, and you got carried with $250 million. Give me a break, man.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And it's not
you
just
know,
Terry.
I had posted something. There also was gonna go sometime this week. It was a pension bill they were looking at for everybody's pensions.
Right.
And I'd also posted something early in the week, I believe. I'm looking for it now, but I can't find it. But I'll just say what it was is that there seems to be. I mean, Teresa posted. There's a shift that they're bringing work back to the United States, but that they're moving it to the South for a reason, to go around, you know, to abrogate the union involvement. That way they can maintain lower wages and less benefits and what have you, whatnot, you know, so forth. But they're bringing some of this work back to the United States because, well, look at Canada. We don't have to look very far. All we got to do is look to our northern neighbors. They're closing the plant up there that made the Camaro. And they're bringing that down here to Lansing because the cost of labor up there is going up. So it's cheaper to have it done in the States than it is up in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. So they're looking for the cheapest labor they can find. Evidently, they have quality issues by going outside in certain countries. So what they're trying to do is trying to curtail that and bring that work back to the States. But they don't want people making a living wage and having anybody negotiating contracts for them. Or if they do, they have a couple of favorites they like to go to because it appears that they're compliant with the corporation instead of doing what they're Constitution would have them or what their organization says they're supposed to do as far as representing the membership. Just my own personal opinion.
Right.
And that's a flux that's happening right now. And they said that somebody did a statistical program on that and they showed where they were getting more work back in from the countries back in the United States. That that's all being driven and moved to the southern states. And it was an interesting article to read. I put something out there about Forbes too, and Teresa put some good stuff out there about that too. But it's interesting to see how we're gonna play with this whole thing. So
right,
a lot of stuff going on.
I don't understand this stuff like you do, or Dick does. I'm probably Teresa too. It's nice that we're getting things back from other countries, and I don't care where they stick them, as long as they're American job.
Right.
That's the problem with that. We need a lot of things to come back to us. And get everybody working.
Yeah, you don't want is, I don't take this the wrong way.
Congressional
budget
office have already said that wages will be coming down if there was amnesty. Is that where you're going?
No, no,
okay.
That's okay. I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, you need, like I said, I don't want to offend anybody, but you don't want to be paying Walmart wages and expect people to drive a Mercedes either. You know, let's be realistic about this. You can't pay somebody $10 an hour, or you can't pay somebody 16 hours a week and expect them to be a productive part of society in any aspect. Let's be realistic. What are the taxes off $16 or 16 hours a week? You know what I mean?
I agree.
And then that individual, like say for example, the flex workers, okay, you're going to make 16 hours pay a week. What are your taxes? And are you going to have to pay the same dues I'm paying? please tell me you have to pay the same dues I do.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
So you're going to take $70 out of your check every month also and
That'd be something.
On what? On 64 hours a month?
Yeah. 64 hours a month. That's crazy. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I do.
You allow them to vote on our contract and they pay union dues. Please tell me.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, they're going to have to pay their share just like I have to. And not only that, but you're going to represent them, too, to the best of your ability. I mean, you guys can't have it both ways, and, you know, it's rough. But I'm just saying, you know, when you bring these jobs in here, you have to pay a living wage. I'm not talking the $10 or even $15. Let's be real. You're not going to be able to go buy a house, have a car and a family and a dog is in the driveway waiting for you when you come home and on $15 an hour. You know, you're talking about profits and stuff. You know, prior to the recalls, we have record profits, record sales.
That's right.
Really? Well, how much are you making per vehicle compared to what you were 20 years ago? How many people were working inside the automotive industry, the big three, 20 years ago? And how many vehicles combined were you making as compared to how many people you have now and how many vehicles you're making?
Exactly.
Understand the labor cost of that whole bill is probably right around 7%. That's it. 7% of the price of that vehicle.
Hold on for a minute, Scott. We have less than a minute. Would you like to tell the folks anything? We have less than a minute.
Nope. We'll be back Sunday, January 4th at 7 o'clock. Workers Workplaces Union on Facebook. If you got any questions or comments, post them there for Mr. Danjan, myself, or Teresa, or Don. Reach Don at FaxerFirst, FAXER, 1ST@AOL.com. And everybody have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And be safe.
Be safe.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you on the 4th of January. I hope everybody has a safe, wonderful Christmas. And we're still on the air for some reason. Now we're off.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty. Hey, I'll give you a holler if I find some information out about what we've been talking about this night.
Yeah. Write it down.
You can even make a phone call because you've got better rapport with an individual than I do over at Local 598. So, but we're on there. I won't talk.
I can try. I will call. I can try to get somebody to answer my questions. I would love that. Especially ask, do they pay full union dues? That's something I'd like to know. I didn't even think about that. So I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea. That's a good question.
I think I put enough out there. I think we got it out there. We got the VCAP. We got the... You did a great job reading that letter. That was fantastic. Fantastic.
Very light ink, though. I couldn't cut it off in certain places, so I just added words or something.
You did a good job. I was sitting here looking at my paper, and you did an excellent job.
All right.
It is a shitty thing to do.
I think it's a shitty thing to do to these people. It is.
Yeah.
It's absolutely... Absolutely. And, I keep hammering these people on and telling, you know, they're going to offer a bonus. You know they are.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
They got to turn the damn thing up. People,
well, that's just it.
They don't realize what they're voting for. They're voting for their demise of their paycheck.
Correct.
These people. And when you go in there for these meetings to see what the UAW, you know, we had the people from Detroit coming over. They aren't telling you a damn thing that you don't know. It's in that booklet. That all it is a propaganda booklet. tell me the whole contract. No, I want no surprises, especially in the second year of the contract.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, what was the true cost of this contract? What's it really costing us?
Exactly. And I have zero faith in our local at all telling you the truth about anything contractual at all.
Yeah.
Because they're not...
See what happens.
And saying, this is, okay, this is all fine. What are we giving up? Because they're not just going to give these folks $10,000 or $5,000. And people think they are, you know, I got a bonus.
After taxes, you know, and what did it really cost me? You see, I got a bonus of $5,000, but I lost $15,000 in wages over the next 3 years. Woo-hoo, that was a good wash.
That's exactly right. I think it was you. Both of you guys figured out we should be making $34 an hour.
Actually, we figured it out. We should be making $55.60 an hour right now per the 1979 agreement.
Oh, okay. That's what the COLA added in.
He'd figured out with going by the consumer price index, by the CPI, we should be making about $35 an hour just to maintain.
Oh, I got you. I see.
I mean, that's what we need to be where we need to be with what we should be making to be where we at as far as the CPI said. We should have been about $35 an hour. That wasn't to have expendable money at the end to maintain what they call a middle class life. We're working class again. You and I are working class. We're no longer middle class. Middle class starts out at about $105,000.
Okay. Well,
middle class used to start out about 55.
Yeah, and you're doing real well at 55. I mean, your 55,000 went along.
In 1990, $55,000 was a big chunk of money.
Yes, absolutely was, and I believe it'd be about $70,000 today to make up that 15 that would be lost from 75
absolutely.
To 50. And absolutely crazy. We give up, and it still pisses me off. Tell me when I'm talking to them. Oh man, the union dudes here—they suck and all that. What are you doing? I said, who did you vote for? Well, I didn't vote. Then shut up. Shut up.
Absolutely.
I don't want to hear another freaking word out of your mouth.
Nope. You didn't vote. You have no right to complain about anything. Anything at all. So, okay. Well, young man.
Yes.
Maybe I'll call you back here in a minute if I find out some more information. I was waiting for somebody to call me back, and they never did, so.
Oh, okay.
If I find out, we went to Arlington, so. We'll see if they call me back tonight. If they call me back before I leave work, I'll call you back and tell you what they're doing in Arlington. Or if this is just our plan. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And I'll try and figure out who I got on Facebook. If Cindy can post that, I'll... I'll see if... Or you could post that and share that to the, what is it, Reform the UAW, and what's the other one? There's like three of us that are out there that are
members of the UAW is one.
There you go. If you could share that to those two sites, I'll go back under the comments and I'll ask, is this happening to any other local? You know, see if we could. That would give us a good network of people to draw from.
Yeah, it would.
And we get some answers without even having to ask people. We'll just go back and look at the comments. You know, you go, Chapman here, 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 and here. Or, no, It's not happening here. It's not happening here.
Really?
It's just happening there at our plant?
Yeah.
The lead negotiator for the truck group for that? Really?
Uh-huh.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas from Barry and Liz. Barry and Liz.
I love that.
I like that. He said it so quick, he didn't even think about it. Pulled it off his tongue. Yep, Merry Christmas from Barry and Lizzie.
That's funny.
If we're talking about the same guy down there that drives the vehicles off in the final line, if we're talking about the same guy.
Yeah, I know. I know.
He killed somebody.
Yeah.
Yep, we're talking about the same guy. They about killed his wife or something, and he took the guy out. Accident, wasn't it? A bad accident or something?
All right. Something in that area where he lost it, took him out.
And he snapped, and luckily he snapped in front of all the right people when he snapped.
Yeah.
You know, they said he was a completely different person.
Yep. Like I always said, those two fork truck drivers are freaks anyway.
Yeah.
You got to be driving around traffic with forks and boxes and everything sticking out front. No thanks. Limited.
Right.
Vision.
Right.
No thank you. I don't want no part of it. I work on the line. Thank you.
I'll call you back if I get my answer back from Arlington. I'll give you a call. And if you guys could post them, that'd be great. And I'll look in, because I remembered all those also, and I'll see if I can find a posting, and I'll go right underneath it. And I'll ask. It doesn't matter. And we'll see what we can generate that way. Because that'd be kind of a cool consensus to get, wouldn't it?
I think so. I think that's a great idea.
I'd sound like Dungeon, but they'd give us an idea where else they're pulling it off, because if they're doing it a bunch of locals, then you know exactly what it is. It's General Motors starting negotiations early. We'll make it tough on these son of a bitches. We'll break them down before contract time.
Yes.
Which reminds me, now I have to get a Twitter account.
Yeah, me too. I know
I would love to be able to at least ask that one question to President Dennis Williams. Why are you doing what you're doing to the temporaries at Flint Truck and Bus?
Oh, yes.
Because everybody's going to be asking big contractual things. Why are you allowing the temporaries and the creation of flex workers at Flint Truck and Bus?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Okay. I'm going to go ask my wife. I got to phone you. How do I get a Twitter account? I guess I'm learning how to tweet. At least for Monday morning, 10 a.m.
I think it's Tuesday, the 16th, isn't it?
Tuesday the 16th? I don't know. I'll look again. You might be right. The same day that the temporaries had to turn in their paperwork.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a sick
buttholes. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, and I'll let you know if I hear anything back.
Okay, brother. I will talk to you sometime this week. I will have my phone on. I won't do that again.
I'll stay in touch with you. Maybe we can do lunch one day this week.
Okay.
If you're not going out of town.
No, I'm not planning on it at all.
Okay.
So... All right, brother. I will see you real soon then.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Don.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And good night to everybody at Blog Talk Radio and UAW Factory Whistle Show. Have an absolutely wonderful Christmas, and good night.